In a world where uncertainty reigns supreme, where shadows of chaos dance at every turn, one truth emerges unyielding. Preparation is not a luxury, but a lifeline. Behold the Wellness Company, a beacon of readiness amidst the tempestuous seas of fate. Envision a sanctuary of tranquility, where the tumult of unforeseen medical crises finds no purchase. The Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit stands as a bastion of assurance, a fortress of resilience against the unseen foes of health. Within its sacred confines lie the tools of salvation. Ivermectin, to ward off the insidious whispers of disease. Emergency antibiotics, to quell the raging storms of infection. Antivirals, to vanquish the relentless tides of contagion, and more. The Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit is not merely a collection of supplies, it is the embodiment of preparedness itself. Crafted by the hands of esteemed healers led by luminaries such as Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Risch, and Dr. Drew Pinsky, this kit stands as the pinnacle of safety, the zenith of prevention. These truth-seeking doctors have forged a testament to vigilance, a testament to the unwavering pursuit of well-being. Embrace the certainty that comes from being armed against adversity. Embrace the Wellness Company, for in its embrace lies the promise of resilience, the promise of a brighter tomorrow amidst the chaos of today. Don't wait for the next crisis to strike. Visit twc.health/strangeplanet and use promo code STRANGEPLANET for an exclusive 10% discount. Prepare today and rest easy tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Richard Serrett's Strange Planet, following the truth wherever it leads, exposing evil and corruption and the secret machinations of powerful elites, revealing the high strangeness beneath the surface of our supposed reality, coming to you from the Great White North and his studio beneath the stairs. Here's Richard.
And welcome to another episode of Strange Planet. Thanks for sticking me in your ear. We are about to take a deep dive into the quantum field, and we'll also learn how we can use our natural abilities in quantum healing. Todd Wilcox has had a lifelong fascination with alternative healing, consciousness expansion, and human potential. His first book, Slipstream Shaman, Using Quantum Healing for Individuals, Communities, the Planet, and Beyond, was recently published, and the next two books in the series will be out soon. Todd also loves talking about the paranormal and hosts a radio program called My Side of the Universe. Todd, welcome to Strange Planet. How are you?
I'm doing great, Richard. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
My pleasure. So your side of the universe meets Strange Planet.
Yes, it'll be a nice collision.
Yes, indeed, indeed. What do you mean by a slipstream shaman?
All right. So with traditional shamanism, they take a long time to do processes. You could spend 3 days buried in dirt to have a breakthrough. You could do 2 or 3 days taking ayahuasca or different medicines like that to get a breakthrough. And what we're looking at with the slipstream is, how do we do things faster? It's a fast world. We don't have time for these things. And so how are we going to do it fast? And what happens when you're doing the healing is things recover in your past, things recover in your future. And that energy movement that's taking place after you've done a healing really becomes a slipstream. It's like when you're driving on the freeway and a semi passes you.
Yes.
And it pushes you off to the side, and then it gets by you and it pulls you back over where you were.
Right.
That's part of the slipstream. If you get behind that semi, what you'll find is that you can actually go faster and use less energy. Your RPMs will go down, your gas mileage will go up because you're in the slipstream of that semi. And so that's what it's all about, is helping us use energy with our healing to heal us now, in our past, and in our future.
So does getting into the slipstream, does that involve this quantum room?
Exactly, yeah. So what happens is, and we teach you how to do it in the book, you'll start by learning how to find your energy and focus it. See what color it is, see what temperature it is, see how it interacts with you. You follow that energy and create a quantum room. Now mine looks like just a foggy, gray foggy area. Picture being in a storm cloud. That's kind of what mine looks like. But other people I've worked with, one lady has a really nice stone stairway that she walks down to a pond. Sometimes she floats in the pond, sometimes she puts her feet in it, sometimes she just sits on the stairs and looks at the pond while she's doing it. That's her quantum room. There's another person who's the interior of their favorite car ended up being their quantum room. Another person floats in space, another one is on the moon. I've got people that are in the water, whether it's the ocean or a lake. So your quantum room can be just about anything, and it's created by you, but it also comes to you. So mine, I didn't think it through. I didn't try to make it look like anything. It just came to me. Other people have them come to them. And then some, I think, actually work on creating it and making it their own and whatever they want it to look like. So, yeah, that's what the quantum room is. And when you're in there, you're basically a superhero. You can do anything. You can manipulate energy. You can work with spirit. There's so many things that take place when you're in that quantum room for healing, for development. It's how I found my purpose. I can meditate when I'm in the quantum room. Typically, meditation for me for like 15 years was sit in a chair, try to get quiet, try to clear my thoughts, and then fall asleep for a half hour. And now I can actually meditate and get things done and find things and improve my life while I'm in there. So it's been great for that.
What's retrocausality?
Retrocausality is where you fix something in the past from the future. One of the exciting things about retrocausality is that it's one of the few in the paranormal field that we can actually prove. So when you're ghost hunting and you collect EVPs, you get those recordings. You can't really prove what that is. We don't know what those are. Is it sound waves bouncing off something? Is it something that's been bouncing around for years? Are we hearing somebody in another dimension? Is it a ghost? We don't know. But retrocausality is one of the most beautiful things in the paranormal because we can actually test it. And the way it was tested was that a group of researchers went to a hospital and they were able to get access to patient records from 10 plus years back for a blood disease. And they just took the records, randomly assigned them to two different piles. One pile was the control group. They didn't do anything with it. The other pile, they sent positive energy to through prayer, through intent, through different modalities, Reiki and different things like that to help the people that had this blood disease. Then they looked at how these people recovered. And what they found was there was a statistical difference in the way the people recovered that were in the pile that had the energy sent to them over the control group that had nothing. So this happened 10 and more years in the past, but they were able to do that. So retrocausality for us in quantum healing is you work on a problem that happened years ago, but it's manifesting now. And it changes the perception, the way you evaluated what took place. So many times you'll talk to people, family members, brothers, twins, whatever, that went through some kind of trauma. One of the siblings really was victimized by it, just has nightmares, is upset all the time, still being bothered by it. The other sibling, it was a drop in the bucket, gone and done. They were in the same exact spot, right? So they experienced the same thing, but how they internalized it, how they reflected on it is what made the difference. And so when you fix those traumas in the past, you're able to have that retrocausality, fixing it now, but it helps you in the past, and then it pushes all the way through into the future, just like we talked about a minute ago, where where what you do now affects your past and then pushes the future better.
Is there an element of time travel or remote viewing here?
Yes, absolutely. So when you're doing this, it's very much like time travel because you are going, you're going back, you can follow your timeline. Many times I'll just get on my timeline, follow it back to an event and see what I can do. Can I give it, give that episode love? Can I interact with myself when that was happening and make it better? What can I do to change things so that I have a different perception and perspective of the event? So in effect, that's a time travel. And then you asked me about time travel and remote viewing. So yeah, and it's very, very much like remote viewing, associative remote viewing. If it's okay, I'd like to tell you a story to demonstrate that.
Yes, please.
So I work with different nurses that are involved in organ transplants. And I get a call one night and they ask me, hey, can you do a healing for this young man? And I won't say what organs he got or use any names. I'm going to make up a name here in a minute, but so we can keep it confidential. But can you help this young man? He's failing. He's had a couple transplants and things aren't working well. He's not going to make it till the morning. So I did a healing session with him. And while he was in the quantum room with me, we were filling him with love, really helping him get strong and get better. And I see this other little boy walk into the quantum room with me. And as I'm looking at him, he's very gray, very pale, very weak. And I knew I had to help him. And so I started sending him energy, my energy. The love team that I have that helps me with this was sending him love energy. And I'm watching him get stronger and stronger and his color's changing and he's getting healthier and healthier. And he gets to a point where he takes a deep breath and then energy, that love energy and my energy that I was sending to him just shoots out of him. And it went to different people in his family. And that was to help them heal from how upset they were for losing him. This ended up being the young man whose organs were donated to the other person. And so once he was healed, he was able to start helping his family to heal. And when that part was wrapped up, I asked him, what is your name? And this isn't going to be what he said, but it's close enough. He says, C. And so I'm thinking, is it Cedric? Is it, you know, I'm going through all these different names of anything that starts with a C, Charlie, whatever the case may be. And he just kept telling me C, 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 C. He's sending me C. And so every name that started with a C, I tried to force into this and nothing worked. The session finished and the next morning I called the nurse to see how things were going. And she said, well, the young boy that got the transplants, he's doing great. He's up, he's walking, he's doing all the things they want. His numbers are exactly where they need to be. And I said, I told her what happened. I said, here's what happened. And this other boy came in. I asked his name and he kept telling me, C, I know you have to be confidential and you can't tell me, but is there a C name that he goes by? And she started laughing and she said, his name's CeCe. So I was interpreting it wrong, but he was telling me his name. And so when you have an interaction like that in remote viewing, that's called associative remote viewing. And that's when you go into remote viewing and find a name of a street or find a person that you're looking for. And so, yes, there are times when you have very much of a remote viewing experience.
So you're not changing, getting back to the retro causality for a minute, you're not changing the past. You're simply changing your perception of the past to make it less traumatic or?
Correct. So I don't know of a way to change the past to where if you were in a car wreck, we make it not happen, but we give you better resources for when it happened. So you're in the car wreck now. Now we're going to cover you with energy, with love, and you're going to go into it a certain way. The second book in the series has a process called trauma release, trauma liberation. And that will actually help get rid of the trauma so you can heal faster. So yes, I'm not physically going back time and changing an event, but we are giving people better resources, just like we did with this young man that had passed. We gave him the resources to help heal his family, and we gave the person who received the organs the resources to heal. And so, and I, just so we're clear, I'm not a doctor, and I'm not saying that I healed this person. What I'm saying is there was something going on with the way his energy was working in his body that was keeping that transplant from working. And by giving him energy and sending him love and working with him and his energy, he was able to line things up right so that his body would start healing. I'm more the final straw that makes it all come together. And I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to pretend that I'm better than medicine or anything, but a very nice compliment, especially if things aren't working right, to get it to finish up.
Where does this modality of healing come from? You know, creating these quantum rooms, is this something that you've designed, or is this ancient, or where does it come from?
You know, it very well could be something that had been used before, and I got it sent down to me, channeled to me. I don't know. But what happened was about 15 years ago, maybe a little longer, I was in a paranormal group and I was contacted by another paranormal group. And they asked me if I wanted to be a part of a new team that would go to the hardest cases. So if a paranormal team went to a house that was haunted or a person that was having trouble with ghosts or demon or whatever the case may be, and they couldn't help them, then we would go and help them. And I said, yeah, I'd love to be a part of that. I love helping people. I don't know what we would do that would be different. And so as that group got together, we started talking about things that we might be able to do that would be different so that we could help people. And one of the things was we brought in a shaman to teach us how to find our energy, protect ourselves with energy, and use that energy to help protect other people. And that was where it started. And I want to tell people that they need to listen to themselves when they're learning these things, and don't be afraid to go off course a little bit. One of my favorite movies is A River Runs Through It. And there's a part where the dad's teaching the boys how to fly fish. He's got the metronome that's going back and forth, teaching them the exact rhythm that they're supposed to use when they're fly fishing. And the younger brother is fishing, and he finds his own rhythm, and he changes the rhythm, and it works better for him. And he catches a giant fish, and they're so proud of him because now he's going on his own. And that's really how this type of training needs to be. I'm going to give you a framework of how to do it. But if any part of it isn't ringing true to you, adjust it a little bit until it does, until it lines up with what works for you. And the reason I say that is because we brought the shaman in to teach us how to find our energy. And she was telling us that it was going to be a certain color. Your energy is going to be this color, and it's going to be this temperature. It's going to be warm. You're going to really like it. And mine wasn't the color she described. Mine was a light blue, kind of a pale blue at the time. It looks kind of like a sparkler now, but it was a pale blue color then, and it was cold. It's still cold. My energy is still cold, cool to the touch, but she was saying it had to be warm. And because I couldn't find what she was talking about, I thought it was not working, and I disengaged myself from the training, went and started working on it later after I got home. And that was when I started finding these things. And so what started out as a way to help people, when I found that, first of all, I got my energy and I would cover myself in it for protection. I would cover houses in it for protection that were having these problems. And that evolved into one day when I found the quantum room. And when I was in the quantum room, I started asking for guides to come help me. And different guides came to me, and I have different levels of guides. I have some very high level spirit guides. I have a next level down is some animal spirit guides. And then I have some other animals that help me with these processes. And so all those things came to me while I was in the quantum room, and this modality developed on its own from that. And somebody would say that they were having problems with something. Somebody was having a heart problem. A dog was having a liver problem. And so I would invite these things into the quantum room and see what we could do to help. One of the animals that helped me was a beagle that I had named Desi. And she had the best nose I'd ever been around. She was absolutely ferocious and super loving to people, super loving to dogs once she got to know them. but anything else was going to be in trouble. If you were a rat, you're done. If you come in the yard, if you're a snake, it's not going to happen. She's going to protect that yard like anything. So I thought, what a great thing to have on a warrior group to help these other people, is this fearless dog that could sniff anything out. What I found was, quite by accident, was that she could find problems with people. I had a lady, and this is one of my favorite things, had a lady that I had on my radio show. And after the show, we were talking, she said she didn't feel good and that her energy wasn't good. And so I asked her, can I do a healing for you? And she said, yes. And during that healing, Desi started sniffing around her, found something on her back and started digging at her, and pulls this rag out of her chest that was kind of wrapped around her heart. And we took the rag, we debrided it, we cleaned it up, we hit it with energy to get it clean and ready for healing, sent love energy to it. It transformed from this rag into this very beautiful young man, blonde with blue eyes that just looked at her and gave a big smile, and then he was gone. We sealed up her back, filled it with love so that nothing else would go in there, because we know nature abhors a vacuum. So once we clear something, we fill it with love so that nothing else gets in there. And the next day or day after, I was talking to her and told her what I'd found. And she started crying, and there were several reasons for that. But the biggest one was that she had been having heart trouble, and her heart was failing. It was getting worse and worse and worse. And they were getting ready to increase medicine. And she was very surprised that I found out that I found something around her heart. And as the days went on and the weeks went on, and, you know, about a month later, she calls and says, hey, I just went to the doctor and my heart's improving. He's not going to increase the medicine. He's keeping it the same. And he wants me to come back in 2 months for more tests because he thinks he might even reduce it. Well, 2 months later, sure enough, she goes in, it's healing, it's getting better. The doctor reduces the medicine. Within a year, she was off the medicine and going great. She does kickboxing for exercise and dances and is in great shape, and her heart's in wonderful shape. But again, we were probably that final piece that she needed to get it right. There was that metaphysical part, either her saying, you know, I don't deserve to heal, or I did something wrong, so I deserve this, or just something weird that happened. Many of these things that we remove, like that cloth out of the rag I was telling you about, I call them companions. They started out as something positive, something with a positive intent that was there to help the person. And so an example, and this, you know, it's probably not what they are, what, you know, many of them are, but just an example that's easy to see is dad screaming at a little boy. Little boy did something wrong. Dad's screaming at him. So the little boy kind of ducks down, pulls his arms in, gets real quiet, lets the storm pass, lets dad yell till it's over, feels better. So now he's set up a way to help himself during those kind of situations. The problem is, what works great for a 3-year-old doesn't work as well for a 6-year-old in school, works even less well for a 12-year-old in junior high, and it's getting to be a real problem for a 17-year-old in high school, and is an absolute gigantic problem for somebody trying to do something in business with any kind of conflict. That's what they do. They come down. So these things started as a positive intent, and then as we changed, they became something that held us back and made things worse. And so this thing was one of those. It was a companion. I don't know how it started, but by releasing it, we did two things. We allowed this lady to heal, and we also gave that energy its opportunity to go off into the universe and do what it's made to do, to go help somebody else, to go help other people and do great things. So it's really wonderful seeing those. We also see a thing called a parasite, which is the opposite. It started with a bad intent, or it could be a manifestation from what somebody might call an alien or a demon, something evil. But it either started with a bad intent, or it started with a creature like that. And we work the same process. Some of those, when we debride them, clean them up, and give them energy, release to a very beautiful energy. Some just disappear. Todd, so there's a lot.
I'm going to jump in. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll come back. The Slipstream Shaman, Todd Wilcox, stays with us.
We'll be right back. Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The truth goes through three stages. First, it is ridiculed. Second, it is violently opposed. Third, it is accepted as self-evident. You're listening to Richard Serrett's Strange Planet.
We're back with Todd Wilcox. Slipstream Shaman, using quantum healing for individuals, communities, the planet, and beyond. And the next two books in the series... will be out shortly. The website, slipstreamshaman.com, slipstreamshaman.com. All the links are in the episode notes. And also the host of the radio program, My Side of the Universe. You mentioned parasites, and I don't know if this is what you'll answer when I ask you this next question, but does anything wander into one of these quantum rooms ever that scares you?
So not necessarily wander, but again, I have a dear friend and this story's in the book named Ron, and his heart was failing. And I was doing sessions on him, kind of helped him stabilize. But close to 5 years ago, he was given less than 6 weeks to live. He's still around. He's doing better. His heart hasn't come back to normal. It's still only running at like 15%, but it just won't stop. And what happened was I did two or three sessions with him where we found different things, cleaned it up, made him feel better, but then he would get feeling bad again. And one day I'm doing another session and I notice, and Desi doesn't even find this one because it's so blatantly obvious, there was this tube, that was going to his back. And when I say this, I don't mean that I'm at his house and I see this tube, but in the quantum room, in a metaphysical energy way. And I see this tube attached to his back. And so I disconnect the tube and I start to pull on it, trying to see where it goes. And I see it, the tube going into the mist of the quantum room. And this window opens up in the mist. And there's this very large alien staring at me, had a big triangle head. And it was like, the head was like five times the size of mine. And it looks at me and we kind of had an ET moment where I think we both kind of got scared and screamed at each other. But then it just sent this energy at me that actually knocked me out. I come to and I'm wondering what happened. And I'm mad at this point. So I go back into the quantum room, find Ron, invite Ron back in, bring everybody I can think of, to, you know, any warrior that wants to come help me to do this thing. And get the window to open up again. And he zaps me again, knocks me out. I try it one more time, have the same results, but a few days later after I kind of recovered from it. And then I was talking to a friend and she said, hey, how about instead of going in, you know, full Marine mode, that you use this love, you've got this love team, try that. And so went through the same process, got the window to open up and just sent all kinds of love at this thing. And it hated it. It really hated it. It was, you could tell it was uncomfortable, but it started to absorb this love. And I think maybe this is working. This is great. And I just send it love, send it love, send it love, send it love. And then we just lose contact with it. And Ron is left alone for about 6 months. And then it starts getting bad again. So I know that I know that the love's not the complete answer. I know that me going in guns a-blazing aren't the complete answer. So this time I asked my guides, excuse me, how do I deal with this? What do I do? And as I'm talking to the guides, they had me sit down and I'm surrounded by my spirit guides, and my body's changing. My arms are just getting huge, like the Hulk kind of thing. And I can feel my neck getting bigger and just every muscle's getting bigger. And I can feel that I'm faster and stronger and huge. And once this body transition takes place, they tell me, tear it open, drive, 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 push up, shove down, squash. And as soon as they said squash, the window to the alien opened up and I like flew at him, got to his ship, tore a hole in it, went in, did like a football tackle, got a hold of his waist, drive, drive, drive into a wall, shoved him up, slammed him down and started smashing him into a ball, and then made his ship go into the sun. And I was able to watch the ship disappear as it melted and incinerated, saw that thing disappear as it incinerated. And he hasn't had trouble with this thing since. I don't like the violent part of it. And I hesitated on even putting that in the book, but I felt I had to be honest that like you said, there are things out there that we don't necessarily want to run into, and not everything is an easy fix. So that was one thing that I ran into that wasn't fun. There's another thing that I'm working on for a gentleman in Florida right now that is just immense. It's planet sized and I don't know what it is, but it's sucking energy from I don't know how many thousands of people, and I'm working with a couple other people on how we're going to cut those ties with it and make it go away. So yes, there are things out there that aren't fun.
Are they actual entities in another dimension, or are we operating maybe on a metaphorical level here?
Yeah, you know, and that's the part that I'm not 100% sure on. That it could be other dimensions, and I certainly believe in other dimensions. But I know that this is on an energy level, on a spirit level. So whether these things exist as I see them, I'm not sure, but I'm interacting somehow with the spirit version of that thing. And so my guess is it's either in our dimension and in another place, but I'm able to interact with it spiritually and energy level, or it's another dimensional entity and still same result. We have to work with it through energy and spirit.
And when you're working with someone remotely, they're in a different location and you're creating a quantum room and so forth, how do you connect with that person? I don't know, over the phone or over Zoom, but do you need something physical to connect you with your client?
That's a great question. And the answer is no, we don't. And I say we because so many things are helping me inside the quantum room, but we don't. It's best if I've had some kind of a phone call with them at the very least. If it's somebody I know, super easy. I have real quick connection and things are good. Somebody that I talk to on the phone for a few minutes, that's usually enough. I do it. I also do a service where people can send me an email and ask for a healing. When they do that, I don't want to know a lot about what's wrong with them, because the more I know, the more my brain takes over instead of spirit and energy. And I don't always find what I need to find. So it's best that I don't know a lot about what's bothering them. But just ask for a healing and maybe give me a bare minimum of something. That is sometimes hard to get through with people. If I just have an email, it's a little difficult and it takes a lot more energy. I can only do one or two of those a day. If I know the people, like if my brother and my sister and an aunt and a friend from high school and, five or six people that I know needed a healing on the same day, I can do that no problem. But if I'm doing the ones that I do online from an email, one or two a day is about all I have energy for, because it takes a whole lot more energy to contact them. And I don't charge for those. And I don't pretend that I'm not charging and then ask for a donation, anything like that. It's you send me an email asking for a, asking for a healing, and I do it, and there's no charge. Sometimes I get behind. Right now I'm about a week out. I've been as much as a month behind, but it's just because I can only do so many in a day, but there is no charge for that. And, you know, that's just part of what I do. My purpose is to help. That was what I found during one of the quantum sessions. And I don't feel it's right to charge for that kind of thing that was given to me, a gift that was given to me. I just can't charge for it.
Excuse me. In the book, you talk about polymedulla. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. I'm not familiar with that. What does that mean?
So that's many healings. And that is a word that we coined for this. And so without having read the book, you wouldn't have known about it. So don't beat yourself up for that. but it just means many healings. So I will do a session that will affect many different people at once. Right now, as I'm doing these sessions, I'm noticing that there's one of the things I see is this thing on top of people. It's kind of a storm looking thing over their head, stress, anxiety, that kind of thing. And so I did a polymedulla to help ease those. I was seeing so many of them in the sessions I was doing that I did one for the planet. A couple days ago, I did a polymedulla for road rage. And the reason we did road rage is because I think a lot of the parasites that are giving people problem started as a very passionate road rage incident. You know, just might be somebody screaming or doing a cutoff or whatever the case is. As I was talking on another show, I just got the very strong feeling that a lot of these were from a road rage incident. And so I did a polymedulla for road rage. I suffer from it. You know, I get very, I feel like everybody's doing stuff to make me mad. Everybody's doing things to slow me down. You know, I get kind of crazy. I don't run anybody off the road or anything like that, but I'm no fun to be with when I'm driving. And so I did this polymedulla to help really the planet with road rage. And what I noticed over the last few days as I've been driving is that I see the patterns. I see the people that are going to go up and cut somebody off. And I'm watching to see how the reaction happens. The person that gets cut off, they're not chasing them at this time. They're just letting them get in. I had a bad habit of if I'm in the left lane and there's just a few car lengths in front of me and somebody's trying to squeeze in between us, I would speed up just a little bit, not give them room. I decided not to do that anymore. I just started just letting things happen. And over the last few days, as I've driven, well, I've probably driven 500 miles between in town and on the freeway, my behavior is much better. And it seems like the behavior of those around me is better. And I'm certainly putting off better energy to help the people as well. And so as people read it'll be in the next book. As people read that, it'll also be posted onto YouTube soon. And as they watch it, I want them to just get their energy, go to their quantum room, and just allow themselves to be a part of that and be a part of the solution with road rage. And there'll be some other things that we do many healings on to help lots of people at once.
All right, let's take another time out, come back. The Slipstream Shaman. Stay with us.
I'm Andrew Gold, a fallen BBC journalist interviewing the heretics and rebels brave enough to speak out against mainstream narratives. Here's Coleman Hughes, John Ronson, and the Trigonometry podcast guys bringing controversy to the fore.
How'd you feel if a person of a different race moved in next door?
I spent a while with a politically correct faction of the Ku Klux Klan.
The system punishes people for wrongthink. It's heartbreaking.
Here's My Unorthodox Life Netflix star Julia Hart on getting out of a Hasidic Jewish cult.
Why can't I be okay with being silent and subservient? Everyone else is.
And biologist Richard Dawkins on trans activism.
It's perfectly legitimate to say, I'm a man, but I feel feminine. But to then say, therefore I am a woman, is just a betrayal of language.
Now it's your turn. Rebel against the mainstream and find a home in this sensible alternative space by subscribing to Heretics Podcast.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than they're worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
We all enjoy a little mystery. Every other week, One Strange Thing presents forgotten stories from America's newspaper archives. They all have something in common, a single element that can't quite be explained. Join us on One Strange Thing, and you'll hear about a man who was literally stricken with genius. A 21st century child who remembered piloting a World War II bomber. A mysterious, unidentifiable blob in Texas. And then there was the lizard man stalking through small-town South Carolina. From cryptids and disappearances to modern-day miracles, One Strange Thing brings you stories that are very real and just a little otherworldly. Subscribe now, wherever you listen.
It's time to redefine reality. This is Richard Serrett's Strange Planet.
Todd Wilcox is the Slipstream Shaman, and the first book, Slipstream Shaman, Using Quantum Healing for Individuals, Communities, the Planet, and Beyond, is available, and the next two books in the series will be out soon, slipstreamshaman.com. You mentioned parasites. Are they extraterrestrial, interdimensional? Do they cause war? Do they cause serial killings?
You know, great questions. And I think some are interdimensional. I think some could be called demons. I think some could be called aliens. Some are just a bad thought that we had that grew into something worse. And those we can actually help. When we find those on somebody, we can do the debriding just like normal, fill it full of love, release that energy so it can do something positive. I think most things start with a positive intent, and even something with such a bad thought that is able to grow into a parasite, when it's released, can go back to a positive thing. But some of them, like that large thing that I told you was appears to be feeding off of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, or even millions of people. I don't think that's I don't know if it's evil or not, or if that's just how it eats. You know, is the shark evil for eating fish? Is the crab evil for eating different things that it eats? Is a bear evil? Is a lion evil? So it's doing its thing, but you know, we want to separate it. But I would say that some of the things that we find that are parasites, I would definitely put into what has traditionally been called a demon or an alien. I'm not a organized religion guy, but they certainly fit into the description of those things that have been called demons for centuries.
So in that case, is what you're doing almost a form of exorcism?
I guess you could look at it that way. So we're cutting the person off from that thing, from that energy. We're changing the energy. We're putting protective energy on them, which, as you look at an exorcism, is many of the things that they're doing. They're using the power of something to remove these things, and then the power of something to protect and heal them in the future. So, yeah, I guess I hadn't thought of it, but yes, that could be very similar to an exorcism.
Well, speaking of these interdimensional entities, what's your experience, if any, with shadow people?
Oh, okay. Oh, one of my favorite things. So I was, there's two different parts of this. I was working overnight at a hardware store about 20 years ago. And as I'm working in the plumbing aisle, the hair on the back of my neck stood up, hair on my arm stood up. And I'm like, somebody's watching me. I turn around and there's this thing. It's about 6 feet tall, maybe a little more than 6 feet tall, very heavily built. It's wearing a hat. I know it has a face, but I can't see it. It looks like it's wearing a coat or a duster, kind of looked like a, you know, the duster that the cowboys would wear. And it was all kind of a very dark blue. I've had other people describe it as black or charcoal gray, or it's usually a dark color. Most people don't see the face or eyes. There's a very select few that see eyes, yellow glowing eyes, red glowing eyes. And the only people that I've talked to personally have seen this. It's very odd, but they're all three of them are retired police officers. And they had that, they've had that interaction with the bad side of this. And one guy, definite alpha guy, he runs in when everybody else is running out. He said, "I thought I was an alpha. I thought I was bad. I thought I was tough. Yeah. When I saw this thing, I'm none of those." It really shook him when he saw it. He was trying to do astral projection and remote viewing and came across this thing. And I see them from time to time when I'm doing the work I do with people. There are many times there to watch. I've thought about, and I've actually partially written a book about them. I call it The Watching Man, because the experience that I've had with them is that they just stand there and watch you.
Are they dangerous?
I don't think so. Now, the three that I told you, three guys I told you about that saw the glowing eyes, they believe they are, and they believe that they had very rough encounters with them. My thought is that most of them are not, especially if the eyes aren't glowing. One gentleman I was talking to about it, he said that he had one at the foot of his bed. It's looking at him, and he's looking at it, and then it just starts walking through the bed and through him, you know, his legs and everything, gets behind him. And my friend's perception changed from looking forward on his bed to up here where this thing's head was, and he got the clear message that says, "I am you, we are they." I can't remember exactly how he phrased it, but we're the same thing. And so now he's looking through this thing's eyes, sees his body down on the bed below him, sees the rest of the room, and he thinks it's an aspect of himself from the future, and that it came to check on him, and that it's either his spirit, his soul manifesting for him to look at, or just a part of him from the future that's able to travel back and look at him. And that's just by the perception part of it makes me wonder if there isn't something to that. So I don't get too worried about them. I saw them and I was never concerned at the hardware store. I've seen them many times when I'm doing quantum sessions, and I've never been concerned. And then I was doing a timeline search on my own, and I can't even remember what I was looking for. But I did this search back to when I was about 3, maybe 4 years old. I was in the basement at my parents' house, and I had one of those horses that has a spring, two springs on the front, two springs on the back, right. and you ride it. I had one of those, and I loved Westerns as a little kid, Westerns and science fiction. That's what I wanted to watch all the time. And you know, you're always riding the horse fast. So I get on that thing and just go crazy on it. And as I'm watching myself doing that, I see about 12 of these things in that room that were just watching me. And then it all came back. I'd forgotten all about the different times they'd watched me. I remembered seeing them in my room as a little kid. I remembered seeing them outside. I remembered seeing them in the woods. I saw them in a lot of different places, and I don't know if I forgot on my own or was told to forget, or if you just grow out of it. But strange things happen with your brain when you're doing this work. When I'm doing a session for somebody, I'm doing a healing, I have to make notes as I go, and then more detailed notes as soon as it ends. Because within 20 minutes, I've forgotten what it's about. And I do healing sessions with people, and sometimes they'll send me a response 2 or 3 weeks after that. I'll send them a debriefing. Here's what I saw. You know, Desi pulled this from you and we turned it into this. Here's what we did. We put energy around you. We brought the 7 generations of your past and future together for protection for you. And I make notes about all that and send it to them. I'll get a thank you or a follow-up question a week or two later. I can't remember any of it. As I'm reading it, I sort of remember it, but for the most part, it's gone once the session's over. And I've told the one about the little boy saying Sisi so many times that one has stayed with me. But when we're doing this, you're in that place of energy and spirit, and your brain isn't with you. Your body is home or wherever, but you're traveling to that, and they don't line up. The way our brains work does not quite fit with the quantum energy and the different things going on with energy and spirit. So it's not a natural thing to remember. And so I make a lot of notes because I lose the whole thing if I don't.
What's that old saying? The universe is stranger than you can imagine. Not only stranger than you can imagine, it's stranger than you can imagine.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
What set you down this path of quantum healing? Is that something that happened to you?
I've always had this interest in healing, and I went through hypnosis training, neuro-linguistic programming training, emotional freedom technique. I've always been fascinated with alternative healing. I wish I could alternatively heal my throat right now. But so that was where it all started. And being able to use those things I learned in the other classes while I'm in a meditative state, accessing energy and spirit makes it so much stronger. The trauma release process, trauma liberation that we're going to do in the next book, that was an evolution of a process I learned a long time ago to help with trauma. And what I'm finding is doing it in the quantum room makes it, and it's powerful without being in the quantum room, but doing it in the quantum room, really interacting with energy and spirit, makes it so much better, so much more profound, but it isn't even fair. So just the fact that I could help, and once I realized that my purpose, you know, for years I looked for my purpose. What's my purpose? And I thought as soon as I figured it out, everything would line up. You know, I'd be organized. Everything would make sense. I would be off on a direct path to success. I'd shoot up a corporate ladder or whatever. And when I actually found my purpose, it was just two words: to help. And you know, something so simple, you think, okay, this is going to be good. But simple doesn't mean easy. And so I have spent a lot of time learning how to help. And going through these processes and helping people and learning as I go. And yes, this modality is kind of new. There may be other people practicing something similar, and there may have been something, you know, in the distant past of people doing similar things. But as far as I know, just me and the people that I've been training to do this are the ones that know about it and are using it.
And people who need help can contact you through the website.
Absolutely. Go to my website, slipstreamshaman.com, and there's an email button there. Just send me an email and I'll get back to you just as fast as I can. Also go to Instagram, follow me there. That's where all the new stuff is going to go. Slipstream Shaman on Instagram. And as we do new things, and as you know, like this show, we would post on Instagram to tell people about it. So it's a good way to keep up. And so follow me there and you'll be the first to know as things happen. But you can ask me through that. It's a little better with email. It's much more organized for me when it's email. So use that. And it's just slipstreamshaman@gmail.com. But there's a link at the website. You can just push the link and go right to it.
Todd Wilcox, the Slipstream Shaman. Thanks so much, Todd. Great meeting you.
Richard, it was a blast. Thank you for having me on.
A new Richard Serrett's Strange Planet drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.